Well, I got a neat sharing to do with you today. I thought it would be very appropriate. I've been thinking about it a lot. The whole world is out of its mind, right? One of the things that it's extremely out of its mind about and has been for a while is it's thinking about women. So what I would like to share to you today is a section of scripture on the virtuous woman or the great wife. And I was thinking a lot about this because our anniversary is coming up, 49 years, right? Have me a great wife. But this is the ideal woman. She really is this particular lady. I think all the women of Israel studied this woman. I think Mary, the mother of our Lord, studied this woman. This is the ideal of an individual, and what's again, it's the ideal person. It's not a real person. So this is what you shoot for. It's the same thing. It says, "Who can find a virtuous woman?" And just a bit on equal time, it says in Proverbs, yep, it's Proverbs 20, verse 6, it says, "Who can find a good man?" So, there's no, just picking on the ladies here. Let's go to Proverbs 31. I was listening to these individuals that, I don't know, they're appointed to government positions, Supreme Court people, higher court people, and they're asked the question, what is a woman? And they don't come up with an answer. Oh, whatever. America is getting really stupid putting these people in office. That's my opinion. And I'm 71, I can have an opinion, The answer is your mother. Just look them in the eye and say, you want to know what a woman is? It was your mother. Short answer, right to the point. Go ahead and say something against it. You want to call her a birthing person? You're the one that's a lunatic, not me. Okay? And if that's as much respect as you have for your mother, then you know what? You really don't need to have a respectful job dealing with anybody. Hello, my friend. So let's go to I now that we're done with that part of it, because that just irks me to no end. In Proverbs 31, you have in this place of the book of wisdom, Proverbs are a bunch of scriptures that have wisdom in it. Solomon put this down. And it says in 31:1, it says, the words of King Lemuel, the prophecy that his mother taught him. This is what I believe this is talking about Solomon, although Lemuel is not an individual that I know of in the Bible. I believe it's talking about Solomon, and I believe it's talking about what Bathsheba taught him. There's no better person to teach you what kind of woman you have should have, than your mom, right? She's good, whatever. But the point is, there's no greater example ever in your life. It says, "What my son, and what the son of my womb, and what the son of my vows, give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings." Don't be sleeping around. Keep yourself pure. And don't get involved with what obviously Solomon got involved with. He had 1,000 concubines and, all kinds of things. Destroyed him. It says the women turned his heart to another god. But that was his mom says, you know what? Don't give your strength to women. Don't keep yourself basically pure. Says, it is not for kings, O Lemuel. It is not for kings to drink wine, get drunk, nor princes strong drink. Neither yet drink and forget the law and pervert the judgment of any of the afflicted. Give strong drink unto him that is ready to perish, and wine unto those that are of heavy hearts. Let him drink and forget his poverty and remember his misery no more. Open thy mouth for the dumb. In the case of all such as are appointed to destruction, open thy mouth and judge righteously and plead the cause of the poor and needy. Great, wonderful examples here of, hey, mom's telling you, don't be promiscuous in your life. Don't get into drinking. Make sure you judge properly, and especially those who have no voice of their own. You take care of them, you know, and you just do things properly. Do it righteously, and you do it for the poor and for the needy. That's how a king should handle himself. Then she says to him, this from verse 10 to 31 here, talks about the virtuous woman. Now, again, this is the model woman. This is not like what people think. I don't know, because people are really, they don't read the Bible, so they don't know what's in the book. They assume that the, like today's, what would they say? Today's women are, it's all about your career. It's all about everything else, right? The women of the 50s, it was all about staying home and having babies and taking care of the house. You know, I think the women of the 30s, the 20s, my grandmother's generation, they were all breaking their backs doing both. I think the people in the cowboy generation and the people who went through the West were both doing both. Because you had to, there's no such thing as just sitting home and taking care of the kids. You had to do everything, plow the field and everything else that came with it. So I just think that that's a huge misconception. And I think that the picture that's been painted over my lifetime is an incorrect one. This woman here, she's a well-balanced lady. She is a completely well-balanced woman. And it says, who can find a virtuous woman in verse 10? For her price is far above rubies. She is priceless. This is not easy to find. And I teach this also in light of the young men and the young women that are out there. You young men that want to find a wife, and you young women that want to find and learn how to be a great wife. You know, plus all of you wonderful people like my wife, who has been a wonderful example. But you know, I teach this hopefully that my grandchildren will hear it one day. I teach this so that the truth of God's word and what a great believer and what a great woman is. And it is hard to find. And she is priceless. You find one like this, this is priceless. It says, the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. Now, you can go a couple of ways on this, but I believe it says in Ephesians that the greatest need of a man is to be reverent. The opposite word of reverence, is to be rejected. Okay? Same thing with God. All God wants from us is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, to fear the Lord. All right? That's all a man really needs. If he's reverenced, if he's accepted, you know, the greatest thing my wife ever did was when she says, yes, I'll marry you. She accepted me. She showed me the greatest amount of reverence in that one moment. Nobody else. You're going to dedicate your life to me? That's it. I have no need. Everything, no matter how our life goes from that point on, if that stays true, I have no need. I can live in a paper box or a castle. It don't matter. I got everything that I need. I have no need of sport. None of those things will make me happier. You know, if you got yourself a great woman, and I can safely trust my heart with her, and that means everything else too. I mean, that's why I say you can look at this from the practical point of view. You know, everything that we have is in one bank account. I never think that, okay, even after we have a fight, I never think that, oh, there's not going to be anything in the bank account tomorrow. You know, it just doesn't cross my mind. That's having your heart safely trust. Physically, mentally, emotionally. And if you got that, you, as a husband, you've got everything. In verse 12, it says, she will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. Goes right along with everything that she does. She does and serves and gives and cares. She does him good and not evil. So even if she's yelling at you, I mean, or reproving you, whatever the heck it is, it's really for your benefit. But my point is just take in the words that are said here. Look at her motive of what kind of woman she is, what kind of character she has. Her character is one that I'm just going to do you good. I'm going to give you the best. I'm going to take care. You know, and I think that verse goes along well with the one before it. And then it changes here. It says in verse 13, she seeks wool and flax. Flax is linen. And worketh willingly with her hands. She is like a merchant ship. She brings her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat unto her household and the portion to her maids. You know, and back in 13 here, she's industrious. She's hardworking. She knows stuff. She knows how to do stuff. And it's not just, oh, sitting at home, you know, let me see what I'm going to make tonight for supper. I think she's doing that too. Let me take care of the kids and clean the room. She's working, providing, got ability. You work, you make thread with wool. Later on, she sews it into clothes and blankets. Same thing with linen. Wool for the winter, linen for the summer. She works willingly. You know, this is a labor of love. It's a labor of love. And that's the great thing about this very spiritual woman. She's doing it all for the motive of love. She works willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ship. And she brings her food from afar. This is probably talking about the fact that she'll go anywhere and do anything to provide for her family. That's the way I think about it. She's like a merchant, goes from afar. You know, how do you get there? Donkey? Walk? I mean, we're talking about an individual who is, what she does out of love. What she does is provide and take care of everything for our household. I mean, she is the steward of the house. It says in Titus, it says the woman is to be in charge of the house. You know, she's the one that takes care of that end of life. But there's more to it than just taking care of a house. It says she rises also while it is yet night and gives meat to her household. This woman, she works hard. She gets up, she goes to bed late at night. She gets up in the morning. My mom always made breakfast. Sometimes it was cereal, but she always was up first. Always got me up first. You know? And I know my Chrissy, I mean, for years, she would get up with Zach no matter what time he was doing, and she would make him coffee and breakfast or whatever. And, you know, he does it also for her, but, you know, it was a labor of love. And sometimes that man went to work at, you know, 3, 4 in the morning. So I know a lot of good women. Okay? I know a lot of good women. All right? But my point is this is that benchmark that God teaches in His Word. This is the benchmark of what everybody, every wonderful woman ought to strive for and seek. And also the attitude. So she rises up, verse 15, while it is yet night, gives meat unto her household, and a portion, that word portion, to her handmaids. She's got younger people in her house. The word portion is really to divide out the chores. She's the one who's telling them what to do. You know, she is the one who's managing all the other affairs and all the other people in the house. She considereth the field and buys it. This lady is into real estate. She's got ability. She's got ability. She's not just sitting around watching TV. She's working hard. She's making stuff, doing stuff. And she's doing it with pride and love. And she goes out and buys a field. With the fruit of her hand, she planteth a vineyard. You know, this one's incredible. She has got her own business going. She buys real estate. She builds and invests in a property and then manages it and has a vineyard. This ain't a little itty bitty garden. This is a vineyard. What do you do with all this stuff? Well, it's going to tell us here in a little while. She sells it. Like I said, she's a career woman, managing her house, taking care of her affairs, taking care of her taking care of her husband. He's got no need. She does it all with 100% thought of giving and serving. You know, I think that's hardwired for a mom. Moms take care of their kids. They're hardwired to do it. It is difficult to do it all the time with such motivation of love and lack of selfishness. I mean, everybody's tempted, right, to go the other way. But I think, you know, taking care of the husband, I mean, why that bum, where is he? You know? No, it's not the way it goes. You know, and let's put it this way. You got a wife like this, there's no place you'd rather be than home. No place. So it says, verse 17, she girds her loins with strength and strengthens her arms. This is not talking about going to the gym. She's a strong woman, and I really believe she's strong in character. She's strong mentally. I mean, the work that she's doing day by day, she's a strong lady. But it's character and strength of character and of, as I wrote in my note here, a working character. And, you know, she girds her loins with strength, her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good. Her candle goes not out by night. She perceives that what she has done and all the things that she has made, the work that she has done, it's all good. And her candle goes not out by night. I think it was a custom that there would be a candle in the house or a lamp in the house that would have to stay lit all the time. That way they'd always have fire. And you'd add a little oil at it at night. You'd add a little oil in it in the morning, and it pretty much burned all day, and you could use it to light or do whatever else, cook everything else that you had to do. You could use that fire to start the others. But she was the one that made sure that, you know, even those things were done. She managed that thing. She lays her hands to the spindle, and her hands hold the distaff. The distaff's part of that thing of the loom. She's making the fabric. She's making the material. She's using the machine. She's doing the whole thing. She stretcheth out her hands to the poor. This lady is generous. Generous. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She doesn't wait till they come and beg to her. She goes out and reaches out her hands. This is a woman of generous heart, loving, caring. She is not afraid of the snow. For all her household are clothed with scarlet. You know, they're not just dressed in wool that looks like whatever. She's dyed this thing in red. Scarlet red. She's not afraid of the snow. And it does snow there. You know, it snows up about every other year in Jerusalem. But it's cold. It gets cold. You know, so, but she, not only are they dressed in wool, but it's not just like, okay, I just threw it together. No, it looks good. Our family is looking good. She makes herself coverings of tapestry, and her clothes is silk and purple. So she takes care of, and this is the other thing on this one. This tapestry, she makes coverings. These could be blankets. This could be veils. This could be shawls. Could be a lot of different things in the Hebrew. But the point is, it's also her bed. All right? She's making the place where she lies with her man just beautiful. And that's also goes because the other woman that's in Proverbs is the harlot. Remember? She makes her bed look really good too to entice the guy to come in. The wife's enticing her man too. She's showing him. At least I believe that that's what the Hebrew is talking about. Her husband is known in the gate when he sitteth among the elders of the land. And I believe this is talking about, because you know what? I really believe this. A woman makes or breaks her man. She's got that power. You know, like Samson and Delilah, you know, or Ahab and Jezebel. You know, you got those negative examples. You also have very positive examples. You know, in the scriptures, she's got the power. And he is known in the gate. You know, he has got, she's giving him his own time to do and pursue the things that God has got him pursuing, whether it's providing or doing business or anything else. You know, Mary is my wife has given me the ability to be a minister all these years. She really has. When we first started out, I didn't get paid for this. You know, for the first 17 years, I never got compensated for any of this. Did it freely and because of the joy of serving God. And yet she didn't get everything that she thought I ought to provide because I was spending time doing this and hustling on the side to make a living, you know, and to provide what we needed. You know, I remember I told Mary she wanted a house, this one. I said, what are you talking about? We don't got the money for a house. But I knew it was on her heart. I mean, I'd never seen her like this. She'd never been a person that would be needy and say, oh, you didn't give me this, you didn't give me that, or you didn't give me something else. You know, it wasn't, she was just content. You know, she wanted, but she was also very happy to be wherever we were at. As long as we had each other. And I remember she all of a sudden she decided, no, it's time. We were living in Seaford at the time. And we were renting the house there and they were raising the rent. And we were pretty much, we're going to have to move again. And we moved every other year, it seemed to me, for the first many years of our marriage. So I said, okay, you want a house? I said, we don't get a down payment. We ain't got nothing for that, but Lord will have to provide. So pray. I said, and I took out the map of Long Island and I said, okay, we got to live inside this circle. You find a house we can afford inside of this circle, we're done. It's your job. You go buy the house. I said, but this is what we can afford for a mortgage. I told her the circle, anywhere in here, and this is the max we can afford per month. I said, but I don't have a down payment. So go be happy. Go look. She went out all the time. I'm thinking to myself, it's going to be a miracle. You know, that's going to be a miracle. You know, the funniest thing, though, is that I was up in a meeting in Latham with the guys, and she calls me up in the middle of late in the evening on the day before I'm supposed to leave, and she says, I found the house. You got to come right now. We got to go see it first thing in the morning. Drive all the way down from Latham from like 4 in the morning to get there at 8 or whatever it is to see the house. It's this one. Obviously, we got it a long time ago. But the things that happened during that period of time were all because of Mary and the things God was working in her. She was the one who handled this thing. I could care less what box I live in. Never have cared. She did. And I knew if God's working in, then I'm not going to get in the way. And family, my great aunt said to us, I want to give you your inheritance before I die so you can get a home. And there was the down payment. I mean, I wasn't praying for it. I wasn't seeking it. It was my virtuous woman. You know, it's just a little story, but it's the truth. She's the one that does the business. She's got a thing going. She is hustling, you know, in the terms that we use. Plus, she's taking care of her business at home. her major business is to take care of and manage a home so that the husband can do well in whatever he does. And it's not just, this is something she delights in. Plus, she hustles and is making money here. She's got vineyards. She's got clothes selling. She is got her own sideline going. Verse 24. She makes fine linen and sells it and delivers girdles unto the merchants. The word merchants is the Chaldeans in the Old Testament in the Hebrew. Chaldeans were the ship guys who ran the ships. She was an expert port business for fine linens. Verse 25, strength and honor are her clothes. This lady is strong, filled with good character. She's an amazing woman. She's got ability coming out of her ears. This is like dignity, honor, character. It says, strength and honor are her clothes, and she shall rejoice in the time to come. She's got no worries about what's coming in the future. That is something I think most people are tempted with all the time. You know, the only time I watched Mary really get on that was when they fired me in the ministry and we had zero income and we had two kids. And 30 days before, our money ran out. And she says, are you going to get a job now? I think that was the only time she sweated. And she just barely, you think it's time to go get a job now? So she's got no worry about the future. She rejoices in what's coming in the future. She opens her mouth with wisdom. And in her tongue is the law of kindness. She teaches. She is teaching in her home. And what comes out of her mouth is wisdom with loving kindness. You know, she looks well on the ways of her household, and she eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. This is the reward. What else could a person want? You know, you teach with wisdom and loving kindness, the children you have praise you and love you. You know, her husband praises her and loves her. And you know, this is what the daughters will do, and the sons know what a good mom looks like. They know what a good woman looks like. The years and the generations to come, they follow the example. You know, it says her children arise and call her blessed. Word blessed is they eulogize her. My, you're the greatest thing that ever happened. They appreciate. Her husband also praises her. It says many daughters have done it virtuously, but thou exceedest them all. This lady. There's a lot of good women out there, but this one is the one, this fictitious woman is the one God has set as the benchmark for every wonderful wife to follow. One that you can't find one of these. This is what you want to shoot for. You know, when you're young and you're going, first of all, Let me just finish this particular thing here. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman that fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. She's known, she is famous. The works of her own hands are what show what she has done. The fruit of her life, her children, her husband, her home, her businesses. These are the things that obviously, but this is a spiritual woman. Look at verse 30 again. Favor is deceitful. Favor could be body type. Beauty could be face. All right? In other words, your looks, you know, that's coming and going. That's what basically, when you're really young, that's what you look at, right? You got the beautiful lady over there, and that's what makes you real. But the one you ought to pick is the one that got a brain, industrious, trustworthy, loving, kind, stand by you in thick and thin, loyalty, strong woman. Those are the kinds of qualities. You know, certainly her beauty and your attractiveness to each other. Yeah, that's a big part of it when you're young. But all those things eventually go away. It's not what counts. It's not what counts in the long term. But a woman that fears the Lord, that shall be praised. This is a spiritual lady. Trust God. Just like all the great, wonderful women that you saw, Sarah with Abraham. Sarah delivered Abraham. You know, the guy who's the father of faith, his wife delivered him. She was willing to sacrifice herself for him. She was just as much, in fact, in 1 Peter, where it talks about her, she is like the Lord Jesus Christ, who was willing to sacrifice himself for all mankind. This woman was willing to sacrifice herself for him. You see a lot of records in the scriptures of men sacrificing, right? Or doing these great, wonderful things for God, putting their lives in jeopardy. But the same thing was for the women. You know, the same thing was for the women. And you just got to read it. You know, when the Christian church is getting persecuted, it's Priscilla and Aquila that's moving the word. It's the husband and the wife that's going to go to jail, be persecuted or beaten. It's not one, just a guy. They're both putting themselves on the line. These are great people. The scripture gives us a description of this perfect wife. And it's there for a reason. Because God wants you and I, it tells us a lot about what a good man is. Just look at the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at the Apostle Paul. Look at all, a lot of these. But it also tells you what a great wife is. Tells the young men what the heck they ought to be looking for. Tells the young women what they ought to be shooting for. It tells the women what they ought to be looking for in a man, too. You got to take the time to look and to see, because what's important is not necessarily what's right in front of you at the moment. It's what's going to be there when all hell breaks loose. That's what's important. So this is a great record. And when some other idiot comes along and asks, you know, like they do these days, well, what is a woman? Anybody can be a woman. I can be a woman. You can be a woman. I mean, we don't need to have women's sports anymore. We don't need to consider them a special, wonderful group. They'd have no identity. That's the way we're going in our society. And the thing that drives me crazy is that the feminists are the ones who don't even get excited about this. They get all excited and upset in their lives if some guy makes 25 cents more than they do. But they're just fine with letting some male beat all the females out of all the scholarships that are available in college and sports. They're just fine when all of these other terrible things, which really, you're not going to erase my daughter, my granddaughter. You are not going to do that to them. Not, and see me be quiet about it. You know, the part of the men, they're supposed to stand up for the women, not erase them. And those of us who got a better understanding ought to have the guts to stand up and speak. You know, so that's what I wanted to share with you. This is what God says about a great lady.